verse 39, even though we've already gone through verse 39 as far as a message, but it will have a bearing on the message today. So we'll go ahead and we'll start with verse 39. Our focus will be on verses 43 through 45. And I'll begin reading here in just a moment as soon as I get these cords all taken care of. And once I get settled with this lapel mic, then we'll be ready to go. All right. Luke chapter number 6 and verse 39, it says there, "And he spake a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." As I mentioned to you, we are going to focus on verses 43 to 46, and I want to preach a message to you that I've entitled Fruit Trees. And we'll be talking obviously about our lives, but Jesus uses the illustration or a parable of fruit trees here, and the fact that it's easy for us to determine what type of tree we're looking at, if it's harvest time, if it's the time that the fruit of that tree would be available, it's very easy to tell based on the fruit that is hanging off of that tree. And of course, our lives are just like that, aren't they? It's easy for us to see what we are like by just looking at the fruit. What comes of our life? What is the output of our life? And that's a great indication. In fact, it is the best indication for us to be able to tell what is really there and what's on the inside. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this message entitled Fruit Trees. Dear Lord, I thank you for this parable that you gave us in your word, and I thank you that you've made it so clear and easy for us to understand. Now, Lord, I do pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, empty me of myself and my own goals and plans for this message, and I pray that you would take over and that you would do the work that you desire to do in your church this morning. I thank you for everyone that's here, and I pray that you would not allow Satan to snatch the seed of the Word of God out of their hearts, but rather that the seed would go into their heart, into ground that is broken up and ready for planting. I pray, Lord, that it would be fertile ground that would bring forth good fruit based on your Word. Now, Lord, I ask that you would guide and direct through these things. Please rebuke our enemy, the wicked one. And I thank you, Lord, that you will. I'm trusting you for these things. Thank you for being in our midst. Now, please take control and keep us safe in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the reason that I started with the previous verses is because as we get into Luke chapter 6 here, and of course we've been going through the book of Luke section by section, we find ourselves now at this place where Jesus is giving several parables. We've already looked at two of them. The first one was verse 39 and 40, verse 39, which is the blind cannot lead the blind, otherwise they'll both fall into the ditch, right? We talked about that already. And then the second one, it was about a disciple and the master. And if a disciple is perfect, in other words, really sold out to be like the master, he will be just like the master and he'll get treated just like the master. And then last week we looked at the next verses, which are verses 41 through 42, which talk about beams and motes. You remember, a mote is a small speck. And Jesus used the illustration of it would be foolish for us to have a beam, that would be any very, very large piece of lumber, in our eye, and yet look at somebody that has a speck in their eye and expect that, number one, they should be concerned about the speck in their eye when we're not concerned about the beam in our eye, or that we could ever really help them with a beam in our eye. And of course, that's ludicrous. It won't happen. Now we find ourselves where Jesus gives the illustration of the parable of fruit trees.
You want to know what kind of tree it is? Look at the fruit. You want to know what kind of person I am or you are? Look at our fruit. That's the illustration he gave. But what I want to point out to you as we begin is these things tie together. Verse 43 is where we start. And notice the first word of verse 43. It is, "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit." The word "for" there is tying this parable with the previous parables, and I would say specifically the last one that we looked at. Remember, the last one was, you have a beam in your eye. Why are you concerned with your brother that has a mote? So let me ask this question as we talk about fruit trees. If the two are linked, let me ask you this. Do you remember the beam you had in your eye? And we've all been there. In fact, a lot of us live there. We've got big problems in our lives. And if we're honest, we all do. We're working on them, and God's patient with us and all of that, and I'm thankful for that. But all of us, almost every day of our lives, have something that God is working on in our lives, a beam that's there that He wants us to get rid of. Now, do you remember that beam? Here's the question. Where did it come from? Why was it there? Was it someone else's fault? Did I have a beam in my eye because you put it there? I'd like to think so, but I'd be deceiving myself. The beam that you had in your eye, the problems that are in your life, the failures that you have, is it somebody else's fault? No. Listen, the reason I have beams in my life and in my eye, the reason you have them, is because we are the problem. I have a beam in my eye because I'm a sinner. And I have issues that I deal with, and you're the same way. We're all the same. The beams came from us. So keep that in mind as we look at this whole parable here of fruit trees. And what I want to do is I want to look at five different statements that I'm going to make based on Luke chapter number 6, verses 43 to 45, and this message of fruit trees. Statement number one is this: the way to distinguish one tree from another is by its fruit. That's what the Bible tells us here. This is my words, but that's what the Bible is telling us. Look at verse 44. "For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes." The way to distinguish one tree from another is by its fruit. The example given by Jesus is, if you're looking for figs, don't go into the area of the field, maybe on the edge, where the thorns have just grown up, where it's not been cultivated. And among those thorns, don't go scraping through looking for figs. You won't find them there. You're going to need to look on a fig tree. Well, the same thing, if I'm looking for grapes, I don't go into the bramble bushes. I'm looking for a grape vine if I want to find grapes. Well, it's the same thing in my life. If you want to know whether or not I am what I ought to be, then look at my fruit. If you want to look at your life and what your life is like and what kind of person you are, then look at the fruit. Okay, that was statement number one. Statement number two is this: it is impossible for a good tree to bring forth corrupt fruit. Now think about that for just a minute. That's a statement we hear a lot, especially if you've been in church any length of time, you know that statement. But let me say it again. It is impossible for a good tree to bring forth corrupt fruit. Look at verse 43. That's what Jesus said. "For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit." So wait a minute. Remember the beam you had in your eye? "But Pastor, I'm a good person. But Pastor, deep down, I'm really good. I mean, I'm better than, you know, the person over there or the person over here, or I'm better than most of the people in the auditorium here. I mean, I'm a pretty good person." But wait a minute, what does the Bible say? I'm not asking you what you feel like. I'm asking you, what is the truth? You see, if I go to an apple tree, or what I think is an apple tree, or maybe I go to a tree and there's a sign on it and it says, "I'm an apple tree." Now, how in the world did the apple tree write a sign that said, "I'm an apple tree"? I don't know. But in my illustration, that's what it says, all right? "I'm an apple tree." and I go and instead of apples, there are, you know, peaches, which I would be happy if there were peaches. I like peaches better than apples anyway. But you understand that I would completely comprehend. The issue is not with the peaches. How did those peaches get there? This is an apple tree. The issue is with the sign. The sign's wrong. If I tell you I'm a good person, but yet the fruit hanging off of me is beams, problems, sin, wickedness, pride, anger, you know, lasciviousness, you name the list of sins that we find in the book of Galatians that are works of the flesh. If that's what's hanging off of my life, then the problem is not, well, how did that sin get there? He's a good guy. No, the issue is the sign's wrong. The issue is I can tell you I'm a good person all day long, but that just makes me further a liar if the fruit is not what it ought to be. Because the Bible tells us clearly it is impossible for a good tree to bring forth corrupt fruit. So friends, here's what this means. It means we ought to stop saying, but I'm a good person. Because either God's a liar or I'm a liar. And it's not even close which one is accurate.
Yep, that's right.
Let God be true, but every man a liar. The book of Romans, I believe it's chapter 3, tells us. So I need to stop telling you, and you need to stop telling me, but I'm a good person. But I really didn't intend. It's impossible for a good tree to bring forth corrupt fruit. Statement number 3. If you're not mad already, you might be later on. Here we go. Statement number 3. It is impossible for a corrupt tree to bring forth good fruit. That's the other statement that's made. Look at that in verse 43. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So here's the other statement. Now think about this. This is what the end of verse 43 says. It is impossible for a corrupt tree to bring forth good fruit. So wait a minute. If I tell you that I'm a good tree, but there's corrupt fruit hanging off of my life, then I am not a good tree, I'm a corrupt tree. The next statement is, it's impossible for a corrupt tree to bring forth good fruit. You know what that means? That it's impossible for me to bring forth good works. You see, the Bible is not telling you in this passage of Scripture, well, there's good people and bad people, and you just need to look at the fruit. You know what Jesus is doing here? He's pulling the rug out from you and me. In a good way. Because we need the rug pulled out from under us. Because the rug is a rug of falsehood, lies, deceit. We've deceived ourselves into thinking we're good people. The Bible says this. If there's corrupt fruit, it's because the tree's corrupt, and a corrupt tree can't bring forth good fruit. So it's vain, it's foolish for me to think, well, I just need to try a little bit harder. Deep down, really I'm a good person, and if I just get down to the depth of who I am and let the real me come out, then good things will happen. That's not what the Bible says. Now again, I will tell you this. My heart will tell me that. I'm no different than you. My heart says, but I'm good. I really want to do right. But wait a minute, the Bible tells me something about my heart. Turn over to Luke chapter number 6, and we'll Jeremiah chapter 17. Many of you will know this verse very, very well. Jeremiah 17. I'll get it right one of these times. See, a bunch of corrupt fruit coming out of this mouth right here. Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We know that the heart is wicked, but what we don't often focus on, and I think Obviously, all of Jeremiah 17:9 is important. God didn't throw in any frivolous words there. But to me, the part that stands out when I read that is not necessarily that the heart is wicked. It is. But that the heart is deceitful above all things. That's the part that to me just stands out and has like flashing, you know, neon lights. The heart is deceitful above all things. It's easier for me to understand that the heart's wicked. Okay. But what I don't often realize is my heart is deceitful. If somebody is deceitful, then I can't trust them. They'll lie to me. I remember when I was working in another ministry quite a few years back and working with another person and kind of under that other person. And I was trying to help somebody that that person had tried to help quite a bit. And the person that I was trying to minister and trying to help was a young man and in kind of a rough situation with a rough background. And anyway, I won't get into the details because I'll offend somebody, but he just had a rough life. And I would try to help him, and it was very obvious after a while that he was lying to me. And the person that I was working with, the older man who was kind of ahead of the ministry, he talked to me and he said, "Brother Weiss, do you realize that the issue that you're dealing with that young man, the sin that he's involved in, do you know how to know when a guy who's involved in what he's involved in is lying?" And I said, "When?" He said, "Whenever he opens his mouth." And see, he had helped that man or tried to help that young man for a while. And he just realized, you know what? The young man is just a liar. And you can't help a liar. Because a liar will tell you one thing and never really get down to the depth of the matter. Well, wait a minute. That's my heart. My heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And obviously, your heart is like my heart. We're all the same. Now, that brings me, if we go back to Luke chapter number 6, look at verse 45, because that brings me to the fourth statement. The first statement was, the way to distinguish one tree from another is by its fruit. The second, it is impossible for a good tree to bring forth corrupt fruit. The third, it is impossible for a corrupt tree to bring forth good fruit. And number four, the issue is that your fruit comes from the treasure of your heart. Verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil, for of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So, the issue is that your fruit, the beam that you had in your eye, came from the treasure of your heart. The reason you have problems with sin, and I have problems with sin, is because it's our heart. It came directly from this guy. And yours came directly from you. It wasn't outside factors. It wasn't the internet. It wasn't, you know, the way you were raised. It wasn't the public education system. It wasn't, you could list 100 different things. The issue is my heart and your heart. That's what Jesus said. Again, my heart will lie to me and say, No. Jesus isn't right on that because I'm really good. But my heart is deceitful, so I can't trust it. It's lying to me. Let me read just some verses to you, and you might write the references down. We won't turn to all of them just for time's sake. But here's some verses that talk to us about what our heart is like. Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Genesis 8:21, "The imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done," God said. Psalm 51:5, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In other words, it goes back to my conception. Psalm 53:1, "Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good." Psalm 53:2, "God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good." No, not one. Ecclesiastes 9:3, "This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all. Yea, also the heart of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead." So those are just a few of the verses in the Bible that tell us what our heart is like. So I have a question for you. Do you believe your Bible, or do you believe your heart when your heart says that it really is good? Which one are you going to believe? You have to believe one or the other. It can't be both. It's either I believe what God has said or I believe my heart. And I would just remind you, the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. And the Bible also tells us that God cannot lie. So they're polar opposites, aren't they? It's really not a hard choice. If I have one person that I know is deceitful and another person cannot lie, it's easy to choose who to believe. So I have to believe God over my feelings, over my experiences, over what I want to believe. I have to believe God's Word if I'm going to be wise at all. That brings me to the fifth statement that I want to make, and it's based off of Luke 6 again. So we talked about our issue is that our fruit comes from the treasure of our heart. But here's what I love is in verse 44. Notice this verse again, Luke 6:44. For every tree is known by his own fruit, for of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. When you are looking for good fruit, go to the right place. That's the last statement I want to make. When you're looking for good fruit, go to the right place. See, why in the world would we look for good fruit among ourselves? Why would I be looking to you to bring forth good fruit? You're just like I am. You're a corrupt tree in your own nature. In yourself. That's who you are and what you are. And sometimes we expect other people to be different than we know ourselves to be. We kind of cover for ourselves and make excuses and think, well, it was just a mistake that I made one time, but I'm going to get better and I'm going to turn over a new leaf and hear, you know, this thing and that thing. But somebody else messes up and we're really hard on them. And it's because we're looking for good fruit from them, and we shouldn't be looking for good fruit from anybody else. We have to go to the right place. There is one person that we can go to looking for good fruit. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew 3 and verse 16. Matthew 3:16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You know that God the Father, at no other time other than in the life of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ, no other person did God the Father allow a voice to come from heaven and say, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Not Moses, not Abraham, not Daniel the prophet. You could list the great men of the Bible, the great women of the Bible. You'll never find where God the Father did what He did here. There's one person that He is pleased in, and that's Jesus. And as Jesus was baptized, by the way, it happened toward the end of Jesus' life as well and ministry. But a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Can I put that into my own words? This is a good tree. You will find good fruit here. He didn't say that about you. He didn't say that about me. He did say that he was pleased in Jesus. Now, the wonderful thing about that, and I talked to my kids about this last night in our devotional time, is it is awesome because I am linked up with Jesus. There came a day when I realized the sinner that I was, and the wretchedness of my sin and the complete inability that I had to turn a new leaf and become a good person on my own, all of that, I realized it's fruitless and vain. I'll never do it. And so, because someone took the Word of God and shared with me who Jesus was, I linked up with Him. Here's the way it happened. I realized I was a sinner, as I mentioned. I realized I couldn't save myself. I called out to the Lord in prayer and said something like this: "Dear Jesus, I know I am a sinner. And I know that I deserve hell for my sin. But I also know that you came to die for me. I know that you are the Savior. Please come into my heart and save me today. That day, I linked up with Jesus. The illustration I always give, and I give it a lot, so if you've been here a while, you know the illustration is marriage. Because that's what the Bible talks about. We are the bride of Christ. The illustration is marriage. That when my wife was not my wife before she married me, her last name was different than it is now. Her last name was Agar. But the day that she stood at an altar and made a commitment to me and I to her, she became one with me and her name got changed. And when the preacher presented us to the audience after we said I do and all that good kind of stuff, he said, I now present to you Mr. and Mrs. Michael Weiss. She was no longer Rebecca Agar, even though she had been for 20 years. She was Mrs. Michael Weiss. That's a great illustration of what happened when I linked up with Jesus. Because you see, I'm a corrupt tree, and it's impossible for me to bring forth good fruit. I can't do it. And I shouldn't be surprised when I've got a beam in my eye, because I'm a corrupt tree. But there came a day where I linked up with Jesus, and God looks down at me, and He doesn't see Mike Weiss, just like I look at my wife, and I don't see Rebecca Agar anymore. He looks on me and sees Jesus. Because I'm linked up with Him. I'm one with Christ. And so now God the Father, when I die, because someday this body's going to cease to breathe and the heart's going to stop beating and all that good stuff, someday I'm going to be in an eternal state, and I don't know exactly how it'll go, but let's say that I stand at the gates of heaven. I kind of doubt it'll be that way, but it's a good illustration anyway. And I stand at the gates of heaven. They'll be able to say, you're allowed in. Not because they'll look and say, oh, Mike Weiss turned his life around and got right, and okay, Mike Weiss is a good guy, let him in. No. Because they'll say, he's one with Jesus. And this whole heaven belongs to Jesus. This is His home. You can go wherever you want. It's all yours. Because I'm one with Jesus. You see, that's the key. If you want good fruit, you need to go to Jesus. Now, here's the wonderful thing, and boy, we take hours and hours on it, and I don't want to get into that, but there's amazing things that happen when you and I link up with Jesus. Whereas I was a corrupt tree before, now the beautiful thing is there is a new man within. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So I am new in Christ, and the Spirit of God now lives within me. And now, even though on the outside the flesh, this is a corrupt tree, on the inside, the new me that was created when I linked up with Christ is a good tree and does bring forth good fruit. And 1 John talks about that. And boy, it's a whole study in and of itself. But if you will turn to Jesus Christ, recognizing your own sin, your own inability to be a good tree on your own, and you'll link up with Him, He'll create a new creation within, and that new creation will be good. And you'll be able to enter heaven because of who Jesus is. But friends, let me encourage you this morning. Don't trust your heart. Don't make excuses and say, but I'm really a good person. No. You're a corrupt tree, and that's why there's corrupt fruit. Recognize it, own up to it, confess it as sin, get it right, and walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you don't know for sure, if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven, the answer is linking up with Jesus. And if you've never done that, if you've never become one with Him, if you've never given your life to Him, then I would encourage you to come forward at the time of invitation, which we will start here in just a minute. And I'll have someone take you aside and show you privately from the Bible how you can know that you're going to heaven. If you're already saved, you know you're on your way to heaven. And there's some things in your life that are not right. Don't make excuses. It's no one else's fault. It's not your spouse, not your kids, not your parents, not the pastor, not the church. Listen, it's you. Own up to it. Confess it. Get it right. Forsake it. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the time that we can have. Thank You so much for the fact that you are honest with us in Scripture and that we don't have to wonder what the truth is, but you make it so very clear. Thank you also that you've provided a way for us to have righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for that. Now, Lord, I would ask that you'd please have your hand of blessing on this invitation. Lord, if there's anybody here that does not know you as their Savior and is not sure of heaven, would you give them the courage this morning to come forward and get that settled today? Lord, for each Christian here that is already born again, Lord, I pray that whatever it is that you've spoken to them about, that they would have the courage to make a decision for you this morning. However you might work in that, Lord, have your hand of blessing on the invitation, I pray, for Jesus' sake. And in His name I pray. Amen.